Every Wednesday, we head over to Ellettsville, and our great friend over there is County Councilwoman Marty Hawk, and she joins the program. Marty, good afternoon. I hope you're enjoying the sunshine today.
Well, I would sure love to try to. Seems like there's an awful lot going on in county government that's keeping me inside in front of this computer. And when we're through with the show today, I may just go hide outside.
I would.
No more.
You're working hard, Marty. We know that, and we know it's a very busy time of year. I'll remind everyone listening that tomorrow there will be no school in the RBB. There will be no school in person in the RBB and no school in person in the MCCSC. It will be an e-learning day. Your teachers will let everybody know your assignments. It will not be class online. It will be asynchronous, which means you'll have stuff to do. Get it done on your own time. Just get it done. Well, because the teachers are all heading to Indianapolis to have their voices heard as the legislators are working away at the state capitol. So that's why that is happening. So that tells me that public education funding probably isn't moving in the right direction in Indianapolis.
Well, part of the debate today was whether or not how the people who are supposed to be working with the unions, whether or not they have to listen to anyone who's not in the union, what all that back and forth. And I was trying to hear that and read legislation at the same time. I only got about half of either one going. But there was major debate about that because it's this big disagreement between what is required and what superintendents might do if they're not required or something of the sort. In other words, there are some that have a concern that if you're not in the union, the person in charge of the school administrator, might not be, the superintendent, might not be required to hear your concern. So that was back and forth about that. So, and it had to do with discussions regarding class size, etc. But that's really not what the union, this is something I learned today, the union doesn't really negotiate that. They just negotiate the salaries, etc. They don't negotiate all these other discussion issues. So this is what all that debate was going on, and I can really imagine the teachers are concerned because they want to know that the school superintendent and those making decisions having to do with negotiating contracts are understanding their concerns. And a part of that concern brought it right back to Monroe County when we see that when you look at your tax bill, that your Monroe County taxes went way up. And that's because of the people that I've been looking at their taxes with it. Their tax bills went way up because of the school referendum. Because they did that, the referendum, in the form of a rate controlled fund and not a levy controlled fund. And the difference of that is, if the rate stays the same, then that rate times a much higher assessed value means a whole lot more taxes. So,
well, that's what the vote was for, right, Marty?
Right. And I'm going to switch phones here.
Okay. All right, Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman, joining us. And
I'm sorry.
Now you're back.
Phone just lost its battery. Are you still there?
Absolutely.
Okay, sorry. So, if it had been done like a levy control, like it was, they wanted to raise so much money each year, then that's how much they would raise, and then there would be a rate set by to that, so that would pull in that much money. That's not how it was presented. That's not how it went through. And so for people who are getting this big shock of how much your taxes are because their home is worth so much more, that rate times your higher assessed value means you're going to be paying that much more on taxes. And so last night when we were discussing this at the county council meeting, I said I certainly hope that these additional revenues will be used toward teacher salaries, a large part of it, because we know without great teachers, it doesn't do a lot of good to have a great building.
Absolutely right. And who wants to move here or be a part of it if the school system isn't up and running and doing all that? What can the county council do, Marty? How do you, obviously, you're in charge of all the tax revenue that comes in. How does that work?
Well, we don't have a thing to do with the county taxes, the county school taxes. But people get their tax bill, and they just see that it came from the county treasurer's office, and they seem to think that the county council could fix this. But we don't have a vote.
Well, there you go, folks.
Other than an individual vote on what happens at the school level. So, and that's the reason why I wanted to mention that, because there's so many people who don't seem to really look at that tax bill. They just look at the dollar amount.
So who can help with this or quote-unquote fix it, or is it just the 7 years of the referendum? That's what's going to go on for the next 7 years.
Right. That's exactly what it is, unless for some reason, if at the state would say we're not going to allow that much revenue going in, we may tie it to something else. You never know what's going to happen at the state, because they do all kinds of stuff to change what you already have in place. And that is something that I was watching yesterday, the Ways and Means Committee, and right in the middle of that, I thought, well, I better go see what's going on with the tax and fiscal policy meeting. Got over there just in time to hear one of the members of that committee saying, well, it looks like Monroe County needs to have a dad to tell them how to do this. So that happened to be with this House Bill 1499, which is a lot of different taxes going into 1499. But there was an amendment in the tax and fiscal. It was amendment number 22. All three amendments, there was 17, 21, and 22, were all passed at the Tax and Fiscal Committee under consent. In other words, it was not like a separate vote for each one, for each person. But when there were people from the city there to speak and people there from the county to speak, and at the end of the day, the chairman, I think it's Holman, as the chairman of that committee, had said, "Look, we will consider an amendment for Monroe County. We will consider it," but he wasn't guaranteeing. And what their amendment said, and remember, this was kind of a surprise to evidently our county commissioner who went there to speak, knew about it, I think, at 11 o'clock the night before. Now, I think we all should have understood there was going to be something happen. Haven't we known that? There was going to be something happen at the state having to do with that food and beverage tax, because there were too many people throughout the state who were saying, look, we're paying all this money into this tax, and we are not getting what was told to us was going to happen.
Marty, I just want to jump in quickly, because just a question about the referendum and everything else. We don't expect the appraised value to continue rising at this level for the life of the referendum, correct? That would be...
But we do think the assessed value will grow again next year, because remember, it's 2 years late.
Correct.
It's 2 years in arrears, so we are expecting to see it increase again.
It will, but just not at the rate it increased the first time, I think, is what...
This was a gigantic increase.
Right, so that gigantic increase is not going to happen every 7 years, or once, seven times in 7 years is what I'm trying to...
Well, no, it won't just go up that much every...
Right. No.
It won't increase... Let me...
We know our appraisal...
It won't increase more than this year. It won't increase that much more than next year.
We know our appraised value is not going down in this community. I think we're all aware of that. Okay. So that's the good news. And then the consideration of an amendment, what would that amendment, if that would be, like you said, just consideration was brought up, what relief, if any, was being discussed, or are we not to that point yet? I'm not sure how this works.
Okay. Now we're not talking about school.
Correct.
Now we're talking about the food and beverage tax, which was put in place for the convention center. Okay. And that is included in this House bill, 1499.
Yeah.
It was discussed at tax and fiscal, and this amendment that they put in place special for Monroe County, I think they're tired of messing with us, said that for one of the things I saw that I found very interesting, I should say, that you know that tax advisory, that Food and Beverage Tax Advisory Commission, where there was like the commissioner, a county council member, the mayor, a city council member, and three restaurant folks. They're saying, well, people, you still have to go to ask their recommendation. Oh, but they struck out that last line that said that recommendation had any force. Like, you know, that's just a recommendation. We know what that's worth.
It's not pending. It just is. It's just a recommendation.
Right.
It's like me standing on a street corner yelling, I want free chicken nuggets. It's the same thing. There's no pending anything to it. Okay.
Right. There's no teeth in it. Just go and talk to them. So, but they did. One of the things they changed was it said that money could be used in the receipts only to finance, refinance, construct, operate, maintain a convention center, conference center, or then they marked out related tourism or economic development projects. Marked that out and put in for quality of life purposes. Yes, see?
So when you say that was marked out, who was doing the marking?
Whoever did this amendment that was voted on and passed in committee. Now, it will still have to, as people are working on trying to get an amendment to the amendment, we'll see what happens if they get something that might be approved that would go, you know. Now remember, it's the Senate working on a House bill. So the Senate would have to take whatever amendment to the floor of the Senate if they agreed or didn't agree. If the Senate says, yes, we'll go along with all this, or maybe they'll put in another amendment, then we'd have to see whether or not the House concurred with what the Senate did, or maybe it will go to conference committee or something of the sort.
Well, let me ask a dumb question here, because I can see people scratching their head in the background. Even though it is radio, I can see through the radio waves. How does this come up with the specifics of Monroe County randomly in a legislative session where there's 50 million other things on the table? How does this get to, is this a representative here locally? Is it, somebody's got to have their name on this where we can start asking some questions, I would think.
Well, one would think, I don't know who it was that took.
Well, don't you find that odd that somebody would stop their whole legislative thing if they're from Warsaw or Evansville and say, well, this would be a great thing for Monroe County if we could just cross this out and add this and do that? My brain doesn't work that way. I don't even understand how that would get across somebody's desk who wouldn't be working with the people or servicing the people in Monroe County. I just don't understand this.
Well, okay, to be clear, this bill, it is not just about Monroe County. There's a portion in there for Hamilton County and for Jasper and a lot of other areas. It's not just Monroe County, but they did do one just for Monroe County that is...
Who is they? That's what I can't figure out.
When they is the tax and fiscal body, but who went to the tax and fiscal body to say, let's get this changed? Now, clearly... To be clear, and I want to be really honest about this, I've said it on air many times, people are sick and tired of paying a tax and not getting anything for it. It's sitting there, millions of dollars sitting there.
I don't disagree with any of that. I just find it interesting that somebody that has nothing to do with Monroe County can come up and put a Monroe County law or an amendment up there, and that's how the system works. That's the fascinating part for me.
Well, that's not how it works. Somebody went up there to say, let's make some suggestions, whatever. And who the somebody is, wouldn't it be interesting? I do not know, but I know this much, that Representative Thompson, who was working on all of these monetary bills, had heard many times over and over again from people throughout the state We are tired of paying a tax, and then they're spending the money on things other than what we paid the tax for, or it's sitting there and we're getting nothing. So he went through all of the people they heard complaints of and thought, well, we'll do something about it. Now, here's what I think this does. This really puts lights of fire underneath everybody to say, you either do it now or it is too late. You get going on it, girl. You get going
Well, we've been trying to get going on it for how many years, Marty? You've been around in the government longer than most. And
I want to remind you that when we first voted on this, when the county council voted to put this in place, one of the very last things I said before we voted, I said, should we put like a sunset on this or something that says, if something doesn't happen, if this doesn't move forward, that we will no longer collect this tax. And it came back, the discussion was, well, we'll just have them report to us every year what they're doing with the money. So there was no teeth in that whatsoever. There was nothing to push and encourage and really almost force people to get the job done.
Now, that what we're talking about right now has not been passed or put through or is law. That's just on the books, correct?
It passed the tax and fiscal, and so that's where it is sitting there right now, and that's where it will then go to the full Senate to see whether or not everybody's going to agree with all these different amendments. And so, but let's talk about what that amendment says, that they have to each separate it out, that the city has to have a plan set by the end of the year, and for the expenditures that they plan to have for the following year, they have to show what they've done with the money in the current year and the past year. And if those dollars are not spent out according to their plan by April 1, okay, I'll just read it, though, so I won't get it wrong. The city must spend the money in the city food and beverage tax receipts fund in accordance with their written plan required before, if they don't get it spent before April 1 of 2024, they don't spend the money in the food and beverage tax receipt fund before April 1, 2024, as required by this subsection, this section 15.5 of this chapter applies, and that means that will be void. The ordinance adopted under Section 5 of this chapter to impose this tax is void, and food and beverage tax revenue may not be collected after March 3rd, 2024.
That's next year. Yeah. All right.
And the county may not adopt. Now, this is the part I don't like. It doesn't say the city cannot. It just says the county cannot adopt a new ordinance under Section 5 of this chapter after March 30th. So, county wants it. We've got to get cracking on it.
Well, that's good. You don't have a sunset on the tax. You got a sunset on when you can act on the tax. Okay, that's essentially this.
So, well, of course, there's very much concern that trying to get that done by April 1. By April 1 of 2024, we'll have a brand new mayor. As of January 2024, we'll have some new city council members. Will they be ready to go to get anything done? Now, somebody said, well, there's no way we're going to get a bond in place by then. It just doesn't say you have to have a bond. It just says you have to have a plan in order to move
forward. That's nice and vague for a reason. So there's ways to wiggle and do all
right.
That.
Right. But now, and this is the other thing that I find just like, okay, what does this mean? It says the following apply to the distribution of the unexpended money in the county food and beverage tax receipt fund and the city food and beverage tax receipt fund. This is how they will distribute the money. The county treasurer will certify how much it is, and the city fiscal officer will also certify, and then they're talking about how it will be distributed, because if the money isn't spent down, as they said, and that was the other thing. I said, what are you going to do with all this money sitting there? What are you going to do with it? They're going to distribute it then, not according to this 90-10, the way it is now. They're going to distribute it according to the ratio that the maximum permissible ad valorem property tax levy is. So it's going to be tied to the maximum property tax levy, not having to do with the food beverage income. So they're going to use that as a way to distribute it, if indeed they don't, if it should be, you know, if they say, okay, goodbye, food and beverage tax fund, can't do this anymore. That's how they're going to.
When are they going to vote on this? When will this, quote unquote?
Okay, that's why I've been watching all day, trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, if not, you can tell me next week. That's, I know it's not. It's not.
Well, it'll be done by then. Whatever they're going to do, I would assume. I believe there's.
How long does the session go?
Well, okay, I have to go back and look at the last. You know, they're up against their deadline to have their readings done, their second reading done, and then their third reading, and so the House has to get finished, the Senate has to get finished, and then they go into conference committees, and that's where the sausage is really made, in those conference committees.
Is that so, next week, 2 weeks from now, needs to be done by May 1st?
It's coming up in this next week. The deadline dates to get the readings in, so people are really going to be hustling toward the end of it. I believe there's no doubt people in Indianapolis right now trying to work with the legislators to say, what can we do about this? And so let us hope that they're real respectful, because the people of the state have pretty much worked hard for people in Monroe County, and we don't seem to appreciate it. We just go right ahead and let these things happen, because this is a long time. The people of the state that's sent there to represent this county, and they're hearing concerns, the city and county don't seem to be able to work forward on this. How long is this going to go on? And this is pretty much the state's answer. Going on.
Well, yeah, and we'll see if that works its way to the finish line as well. And I know you'll be watching it for me. See, Ellettsville is hiring firefighters too. If people are looking to get that word out, did I see that correctly? They've got Ellettsville currently accepting applications for part-time firefighters. So we want to make sure people know that's a process. Will be closing April 28th. So we'll remind folks as we go along with that. So that's exciting as well.
And the other thing is that at one of the state legislation, I don't remember the number on that one. I was just studying it this morning. Had to do with the TIF revenues. You know, we have a huge tax increment finance area over here, and we need to pull money out of there for our fire department. We really do, and this is part of the legislation that says that they would be allowed to allocate money not just for capital items but also for operations of a fire department. So let's just see how much of that goes through. But they had the last meeting of the RDC, they indicated to our fire department that had some people over there discussing things with them, even asked them if there was some way that they could help out. So this is good news, because we cannot continue to provide services in these TIF areas, continue to take all the money back in and not be able to come out to help the fire departments. And there's also part of the legislation going through that talks about how they're going to split up the public safety tax and whether any of that would go to the fire departments. So there's just so much going on. And
yeah, that's why we talk to you every week. That's right.
Figured it out. They change it again.
Well, I'm glad you're watching it, because I'm not sure who else. I can see why people just stick their head in the sand and say, well, just give me the cards. I'll play whatever's dealt. So we appreciate the update, Marty. Get out and enjoy the sunshine. Clear your mind. Deep breath. Enjoy the pollen and all the other fun stuff that comes with springtime here in Bloomington.
Love spring.
Me
it's
too.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, when you join us next week, today is, what did I tell you today was right now? Besides, perfect. It is 76 downtown. Next week is 77. Can you handle that?
I think I can. can. I mean, the red buds are blooming. Yep. I mean, everything is blooming out there.
Grass is growing. People are sneezing. It's happening in springtime. Come back and join us next Wednesday, please.
Okay, thank you.